Chapter 42, What We Must Do Now. Aryan, a racially aware white person dedicated to the survival and evolutionary advancement of his people. Knowing the truth is both exciting and burdensome. When we of good blood learn of the crisis of our people, we know that we cannot turn away from the struggle. It suddenly becomes the most important thing in our lives, for we understand that we owe our genetic forebears everything for our traits and our talents, our loving families, even for our existence itself. If we of the best blood fail our people now, then all the sacrifices and genius, work and struggle, beauty and love of countless generations will be lost. Even more importantly, we will not realize the evolutionary promise for which we have long prepared. It is my belief that we will not fail. Consider the millions of men and women of genius in our race who, racially unaware, have devoted their talents and their money exclusively to their businesses, homes, hobbies, jobs, and other routine pursuits. As we touch them with our truth, their genes will answer the call to life and freedom, and they will use their talents on behalf of our survival. They will create a force unequaled in history. Our people still have tremendous power and vast wealth. We are like a blindfolded tiger tormented by a mouse. This book removes the blindfold. What has kept our people down is only their lack of knowledge. When they learn the truth, they will find the courage to act upon it. The task of the Aryan. There are those reading these lines who could, by their own financial means, dramatically advance our movement. They need to realize that their money can help change the world. No one is asking the wealthy to be reduced to poverty, for Aryans recognize private property and revere accomplishment. However, all Aryans should give generously, even sacrificially, during this period of racial crisis. The next few decades will decide whether our kind will live or die. Every Aryan should designate pro-white individuals and organizations as beneficiaries in insurance and wills. Supporting our cause is the surest way to leave a legacy for the generations to come. Indeed, the generosity of a few may well make the difference between racial extinction and racial renewal. A friend put it this way: if we lose, you will not be remembered. If we win, you will be remembered as one who did his duty. Far more important than the gift of the Aryan upon his death is the activism of the Aryan in his life. Only when millions of our people find in this sacred cause their highest motivation and meaning can we achieve our visionary agenda. We must view every person of European descent as a kinsman whom we must help find his way back to the bosom of his people. In the awakening of our people, one by one, our race shall stir from its long sleep. Every Aryan should become computer literate, become connected to the internet, and learn how to use it to spread our truth and awaken our race. Internet proficiency is as important to our cause now as was learning to use a sword in the Middle Ages or a long rifle in the American Revolution. Every Aryan must come to realize that truly hateful rhetoric or terrorism our gratuitous violence only fulfills the false Jewish-created media image of what we are and what we stand for. those who embarrass us with the language or behavior of hatred, work against our victory more than the worst Jewish supremacist. Those who pick up a gun in a moment of anger, or who commit terrorist acts, undermine our cause. They alienate the very people we must win for our movement. In addition, the perpetrator of such an act can do little for our cause in jail or dead. If our race is to survive, our people must live for our cause rather than die for it. They must do the hard and at times unrewarding work necessary to wake up our kinsmen, rather than follow a visceral impulse. Before the battle is over, many of us will find an heroic death. Some will endure cruel imprisonment by our traditional enemies, whose stock in trade is oppression and intimidation. Far more important than the leaders who sacrifice everything will be those core millions of our people who lead a quiet but heroic life. Heroic lives do not come from a moment of intemperance, but from hard, relentless, untiring work and activism for our sacred cause. A physical revolution may be required someday to free our people and secure our survival, and such is justified by the highest laws of nature and God. It is the principle by which the United States was created and that every civilized nation respects. But no revolution, whether physical or political, can ever succeed without first winning the hearts and minds of the people. It is this task that is our first task. Many in our movement need to take the political path, but there must be caution here, for politics has a way of muting a revolution. Political tactics and programs must be flexible, but the foundations of our natural order must be immutable. Our race cannot survive with anything less than a government and a mass media composed of our own people, dedicated to the new ideas we share. There is only one issue. As I write these lines, I am an elected official of the Republican Party in Louisiana. On many issues, I could be classified as a conservative. For instance, I support the Constitution of the United States and less government. If I had the power, I would dismantle the IRS and abolish the income tax. I would take control of the Federal Reserve from the bankers. I believe in the inviolate right to keep and bear arms. I support neighborhood schools. I oppose affirmative action. I believe in an America First foreign policy. I oppose illegal immigration and support severely restricting legal immigration. I could go on and on, but I don't need to, for there's only one issue that is vital to every other issue, and that is race. Hardly any conservative politician in America will openly defend the interests of our heritage, but all are forced to go out of their way to describe what they will do on behalf of minorities. Of course, they will face obliteration by the very racial policies they have embraced. If black and Mexican voters have their way, the President of the United States would be Jesse Jackson, a man who went to communist Cuba and exhorted the Marxist minions, Viva la Castro, Viva la Revolution. On American soil, he has chanted, "Hey ho, hey ho, Western culture has to go." And the Obama of today is simply a precursor for what would come tomorrow. In truth, as minority populations increase, the non-European bloc vote more often prevails over the majority. In my races for the U.S. Senate and governor, most white voters voted for me, and still they did not get the senator or governor they chose. But most black and Jewish voters got who they wanted through racial solidarity. There can be no victory on any of the critical issues facing America if we become a minority in the nation that our own forefathers created. And there can be no real victory on any critical issue until the media is again in the hands of the American people, rather than in the hands of aliens who lie to us and poison our minds and our spirits. fighting small battles, such as wrangling over the capital gains tax or whether or not President Clinton had his pants down with a Jewish princess in the Oval Office, are like arguing over a shuffleboard point on the deck of the Titanic. Arians should devote their money and their time only to organizations that are openly working for the survival of the white race and or the exposure of Jewish supremacism. Either we will win victory for everything in which we believe, or we will win nothing. In fact, if we lose the struggle coming in the first few decades of the 21st century, it will not only mean loss of economic well-being and the tyranny of the New World Order, but the extinction of our kind. Ironically, those of liberal persuasion should be just as concerned about Jewish supremacism and the racial destruction of America as conservatives are. Ecologists should only have to look at the population explosion and environmental devastation of the Third World to know what is in store for America's and the world's ecosystems if the unrestrained masses of the Third World overrun us. Feminists should consider the fate of women's rights if the Western world becomes subsumed to the Third World. Societies where women's rights are non-existent and millions of young girls are enslaved, circumcised, and mutilated. Civil libertarians must realize that the epidemic criminal behavior of non-whites directly results in draconian laws and the destruction of civil liberties for all. Believers in compassion, charity, brotherhood, and love must understand that these attributes are most possible and most practiced and appreciated in Western monoracial communities, not multiracial ones. Acquiescence to Jewish supremacism violates every moral principle that liberals claim to profess. The issue is race. It is expressed in the wealth and poverty of nations, the scepter of power or the cry of the powerless, the pulse of history, and in the laws of evolution and life itself. Now our people must take up the cause of their own right to life and the preservation of the sacred cultural forms that only we can create. Every healthy form of life on this planet has an instinct for self-preservation. It is time that we honor this holy instinct and nurture it. The startling facts contained in this book need no longer be known only by a few. They can and they must be known to everyone. The essential facts have been laid out clearly in this volume. The vital role of heredity in intelligence and character. The scientific facts that expose the new religion of racial equality as a fraud. The inherent differences between the races that so powerfully affect society and ultimately history. Our natural right to preserve our own genetic and cultural heritage. The racial crisis looming in almost every Western nation. The anti-Western character of the Jewish supremacist doctrine that has so plagued every nation in which it has flourished. The Jewish supremacist efforts to preserve their own genetic integrity as they attempt to destroy ours. The paramount in the Soviet Revolution and the greatest killing machine in human history, international communism. The theft of Palestine and the establishment of the nakedly supremacist Israeli state. The Jewish extremist infiltration and control of the media and government of the United States and other Western nations. The shameless use of the tragedy of the Holocaust as a tool to heighten Jewish ethnocentrism and extremism while weakening our own ethnic defenses. The efforts of Jewish supremacists to destroy freedom of speech and press around the world. It's all here. I have documented the realities of the world, compiled in my 30-plus years of reading, listening, analyzing, and activism. Now all you must do is disseminate this vital information. The truth is powerful. More powerful than the might of presidents and prime ministers, parliaments and congresses. In the end, the truth is ultimately even more powerful than our marching armies, for armies are led by men, and men are susceptible to the truth. The truth, if disseminated, is far more convincing than the easily disproven lies of the Jewish media. That's why the forces of organized Jewry are working so hard to pass so-called hate laws and are endeavoring to jail dissident voices and filter and censor the internet. They know that free speech will expose their hypocrisy and that they have no choice but to try to blatantly suppress the truth and imprison the truth tellers. Like other books that have exposed Jewish supremacism, this book will be banned in many nations. The ultimate racist will call it racist. The haters will call it a book of hate. It will be burned by censors and suppressors. The great masters of the lie may attack and suppress it, but it will be read, simply because of the power of the truth that is in it. As you now realize after reading these 700 pages, I am not motivated by, nor do I advocate, hate in any kind of way. In fact, I believe that understanding the natural and scientific truth of race affords us a path to racial understanding, coexistence, and even friendship. I am not a white supremacist, and I oppose any kind of racial or religious supremacism. Our people don't seek to be supreme over anyone, just to preserve our own heritage and to be free. It is true for whites, Africans, Asians, and all the people of the earth. And it is true for we of European descent as well. There is no massive white immigration in Uganda or in Brazil or in China or Japan. China, for instance, is 1.3 billion strong and practically all Chinese. The only real racial threat on earth is to the nations of European descent. I think that any African, Chinese, or member of any racial group faced with its own genetic and cultural genocide would do just as I have done. He would work for his heritage and his freedom. The Jewish extremists are real supremacists in every sense of the term. Not only are their beliefs in objective supremacists, they have achieved a working supremacy in their control over the domestic and foreign policy of the one superpower, the government of the United States. They are the strongest single power in world media and information, and they wield great influence over finance through powerful influence in many governments as well as direct control over the Federal Reserve Bank and the World Bank. They now lead the efforts for globalism and perpetual war called the War on Terror. There is no greater threat to the peace of the world. I believe that every race can benefit from the information I offer in this book, and I believe my own people can find inspiration from it. It is already in 14 languages and being read all over the world. Every one of our heritage who is awakened and inspired by this book will certainly obtain and disseminate more copies for their friends and family. Thousands of awakened Aryans will include selected chapters of this volume on their websites and links so the public will find it and read it. And of course, the same is true for this audio version of My Awakening. You have every right and authority, you have my permission and my encouragement to take these chapters, post them on your own websites, share them in peer-to-peer networks, and get this book out to the millions of our people who need the information that's contained within it. Millions will email these truths to their friends, and millions in turn will spread the word. Many of the newly awakened Aryans will support the fund established to get this volume into every public and school library, and also place it in the hands of every European-American politician, scientist, actor, singer, businessman, journalist, and opinion leader in America and across the Western world. Every additional person of European heritage who reads this book will put us one step closer to the salvation of our heritage and freedom. We are in a battle for men's minds, a battle that will determine whether our people will survive or be driven to extinction. To the best of my ability, I have told the truth. I have surveyed the natural forces that make us as we are, both as individuals and races. And I've also revealed powerful forces in the modern world that are far different than commonly perceived. Our revolution is not just about prevailing over those who would destroy us. It is far more than simply our longing for freedom and our determination to live in a society that expresses the deepest desires of our soul. It is about the essence of life itself. Our revolution will not only be political, social, and cultural. It finds its most fundamental expressions in the DNA spiral upward to a higher mankind. It is a path to a renewed earth and a stairway to the stars, an evolutionary path our people are destined to take in their Aryan awakening. The path to our destiny begins with the truth and with you. We speak the truth because it's in our genes to do so. We speak the truth for our own survival, for our freedom, for our way to the heavens. As George Orwell said, in a time of universal deceit, telling the truth is a revolutionary act. My friends, let the revolution begin. Ladies and gentlemen, thanks so much for investing the time it took to listen to this book and to read this book and study it. Don't forget to order more copies of the book in hardback form with its great index and documentation for yourself and your friends. When you order the book on my website rather than from Amazon or from a book dealer, you will receive an autographed edition of the book, which certainly makes it more valuable and more interesting, I think, for the future. I appreciate your efforts, and I hope that you will take this book not simply for a bit of education on these issues, but as a real motivation for the fight ahead for our people. We need your support, and as I've said so many times in this book, it's not a game. This is not some sort of intellectual pursuit. It's really a question of life and death for our genes, for our people, for that beautiful countenance that exists in our children and grandchildren, and what can be our vision for the future, for America and for the earth. We need your support, and I hope that you will make it a point to contribute to this effort. This book, in its audio form, is offered free. We appreciate your support enabling us to have the bandwidth and the websites and the work to get this book out. And you can help us through your contributions or through your orders of the book in hardback. Also, you can order the book that deals specifically with the Jewish question only, and that is Jewish Supremacism. For those of you who are really concerned about these issues, let me remind you that often people help us by remembering us in their will or bequest, or even in their insurance policies. That is one way that your ideas and your principles can be a legacy after you pass. And that's really what it's all about, isn't it? It's really about our genes, our heritage, which is so rich and so wonderful and fantastic, that's come down from thousands of generations to go into the future. We are in a great moment here of question. As Shakespeare said, it's to be or not to be. I hope all of you will choose, and by your actions, well, choose to help our people be rather than not be. That's really the choice before us. But the only way we're going to win, the only way we're going to survive, the only way we're going to reach and touch the stars someday is by your personal sacrifice and activism and support. Thanks so much. I look forward to hearing from you again. Please contact me by email at davidduke.com. You can look at the email button there, and I'll be happy to read your letters. I want to hear your thoughts in this book, and I appreciate very, very much your dedication to our mutual cause. Thank you. This has been David Duke.